I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics. Politics. Humor,
humor,
tequila,
tequila,
and an IQ of under 64.
Yeah.
You're listening to Art Cop Radio,
Radio, Radio, Radio.
Hello, hello, welcome to Bart Cop Radio. It's show number 110. Bart Cop Radio, heard on the Bart Cop Radio networks, seen on the BartCop.com. My name's Bart. I'm driving the helicopter today. It's our first show live from inside the helicopter. Makes mixing a little tougher, but I'm going to do what I can. Today's one of them funny shows. Hardly have any clips at all. It's pretty much my rat-like voice, so I hope you like it. Kind of cramped for time. Better get the shot of Chinako out the way. They told me not to fly the chopper and drink the Chinako, but I'm only going to drink a little bit, so it won't be that bad. Oh, there's... Oh, watch out, watch out! Jesus Christ! Son of a bitch. Almost hit the telephone pole. Maybe I'll just go straight to the show before I run us into the side of a mountain or something. All right, here we go. Big, big, big show!
This is www.bartcop.com.
Breaking bows, banging walls, we're hot and tough, and I want some love. I pack my bags and take a drag. We bang on name, and I'm dead on time. Open up the door, and lay a pound of food.
Mein Führer was in Mexico this week, and even there he couldn't get away from those nagging questions about how crooked his administration is from top to bottom, from coast to coast, from left to right, from every direction you could imagine. Crookery everywhere.
The Attorney General acknowledged yesterday that there were mistakes in the firing of prosecutors. What's his future in your cabinet? Do you have confidence in him? And more importantly, or just as important, how effective can he be in Congress going forward when he's lost a lot of confidence among Democrats and doesn't have many defenders among Republicans?
Mm-hmm. I do have confidence in Attorney General Al Gonzalez. I talked to him this morning, and we talked about his need to go up to Capitol Hill and make it very clear to members in both political parties why the Justice Department made the decisions it made. Make it very clear about the facts. And he's right, mistakes were made. And I'm frankly not happy about them, because there is a lot of confusion over what really has been a customary practice by the presidents. U.S. attorneys and others serve at the pleasure of the president. Past administrations have removed U.S. attorneys. They're right to do so.
Of course he's lying, and I'm going to explain to you how he's doing that. Technically, he's correct when he says they serve at the pleasure of the president and they can be fired at any time. That's true. But that's not the subject. I know it. You know it. The monkey knows it. Bob Dole knows it. The American people know it. The American people know we got a dirty crook for president, and we're somehow supposed to ride out the next 20 months and hope he doesn't blow up the whole planet or kill a bunch of widows and orphans. But he's just changing the subject so you don't look at the actual crime. Well, one way to look at it is to reduce it down in a situation you're familiar with. Have you ever watched the show CSI? Now, I know you're saying you haven't, But, you know, it was the most popular show in America for like 6 years, so statistically some of you had to see it. But let's say a new mayor got into town. The mayor's in charge of the city. And the mayor takes over and they say, is the CSI staff okay with you? And he says, sure, I got no problem with them. A year later, there's a big murder. Let's say the murder is at the Bellagio. And the mayor used to work at the Bellagio, has lots of friends there. Lots of powerful friends. And as the investigation proceeds, the Bellagio looks more and more guilty. So the CSI boy is getting ready to close in on an arrest, or they make an arrest or two and are preparing to arrest some more. And then the mayor calls over there and says, fire everybody that's involved in that case. Anyone who's making progress on the Bellagio case, fire them. They're out of their jobs. Goodbye. That's it. It's over. They're gone. Goodbye. Well, see, now it looks a little different. Because, you know, like for the last 2-3 years, there's been this culture of corruption in the Republican Party. Duke Cunningham and Jack Abramoff and that Nay guy and, you know, all these people that are either indicted or went to jail or under investigation or have pled guilty to crimes. The prosecutors who worked on those cases, those are the ones that were fired. In other words, the ones that were getting something done, the prosecutors that were actually rooting out corruption, they're the ones that got fired. When Domenici called that guy and said, how's the investigation coming on whoever? And Iglesias says, well, yeah, it's coming along. And he said, well, are you going to have an indictment for me soon? He said, well, I don't know. You going to have an indictment for me before the election? Well, I don't know. It's hard to say, sir. Click, hang up, and then he gets fired. Well, you don't get to do that. Haven't you ever been watching a crime show when they say, we're getting ready to make an arrest, and they say, can't. We just heard from the bosses upstairs. They don't want that guy arrested. What do you mean they don't want that guy arrested? He got his fingerprints on the gun. We found the gun in his car. The girl's blood is in his trunk. What do you mean don't arrest? That's what the boss says. You can't arrest the guy. That's what you call corruption. And that's why he's in trouble. And they're acting like, well, other presidents do it. Well, no. Other presidents don't fire a prosecutor when he's closing in. Other presidents didn't fire a prosecutor. Well, I'm sorry. Nixon did. When Archibald Cox was closing in on his crooked administration, they had a thing called the Saturday Night Massacre where Nixon fired all the people who were closing in on him. And then the second guy showed up and said, well, I'm going to do the same thing. So he got fired. And then the third guy showed up and said, oh, okay, I'll play ball with you, Mr. President. So then he stayed on. That's what we have here. Bush is a crook. He only wants crooks working for him. He doesn't want honest people. He doesn't want able investigators rooting out crime. He wants cronies on the payroll that will look the other way when there's crimes going on. That's what his administration has always been about. That's why Katrina failed. That's why the Iraq War has failed. That's why he's making $200-300 million a day and has been for years and years and years. Because it's not about truth and justice the American way. It's about how can I steal more money, and whoever gets my way, we're going to crush them. We're not going to kill them unless we have to, but if we have to kill them, that's going to happen. Well, wait, that can't be right, because evil men wouldn't kill for unlimited money and unlimited power. I might need to rethink that.
The Justice Department recommended a list of U.S. attorneys.
Listen to the monkey. I didn't have anything to do with it. It was the Justice Department. Those guys way over there. I don't even know those guys. Well, no, Mr. Bush, those people work for you. They're your appointees. They are your cronies. They are your little toadies that go around and help you cover up for crimes or commit crimes.
I believe the reasons why were entirely appropriate. And yet, this issue was mishandled to the point now where you're asking me questions about it in Mexico, which is fine. I mean, if I were you, I'd ask the same question. This is a, you know, this is an issue that, and so Al, let me just say, Al was right, mistakes were made, and he's going to go up to Capitol Hill to correct them. Just so you know, I get asked, I mean, I get complaints all the time from members of Congress on a variety of subjects. Senator, the senator, congressman, congressperson, so-and-so. And there's a, you know, there's occasionally frustration with the executive branch. And they will pull me aside and say, you know, are you aware of this? Are you aware of that? And I did receive complaints about U.S. attorneys. I specifically remember one time I went up to the Senate and senators were talking about the U.S. attorney. I don't remember specific names being mentioned, But I did say to Al last year, you're right, last fall, I said, have you heard complaints about AGs? I have. I mean, U.S. attorney, excuse me.
Well, that sounded like a little Freudian slip there, didn't it? Yeah, I've been getting lots of complaints about the AG. I mean, the federal prosecutors.
And he said, I have. But I never, brought up a specific case, nor gave him specific instructions.
But they're monkey liar. I thought you said that you often pass on the complaints. Now, that sounds like a specific to me. How are you going to pass on a general complaint? There's some attorneys that are causing some grumbles. And could you look into that? No, if you're going to pass on a complaint, you're going to say, this guy, that guy, that's the only way you can pass on a complaint. Liar!
It with him was a need for him to take action.
You're going to have to ask Al that question.
But monkey, this lady is in Mexico. How is she going to ask Gonzalez a question if he's in D.C.? And why can't you answer the question? It cut off a little bit there, but she asked him what him and Gonzalez talked about. And he said, we have to ask him. Well, no, monkey, she asked you what you and him talked about. And you say, well, I don't know. You got to ask the other guy. Because I sure as hell don't know what I was talking about.
But as I say, I discussed with my cabinet officials complaints I hear.
But you just said you didn't. How can you discuss a complaint without bringing up the fella's name?
Members of the Senate come up and say to me, I've got a complaint. I think it's entirely appropriate and necessary for me to pass those complaints on.
But monkey, again, you keep getting caught in your own lies. How do you pass on a complaint without giving up the guy's name? Got a complaint against a prosecutor. Which one? Can't tell you. Well, how am I supposed to investigate a prosecutor if you won't give me a name?
Now, I don't every single time. But people view their moment with the president sometimes as an opportunity to unload their frustrations about how things may be working in their state.
You mean like when a federal prosecutor is closing in on a crooked Republican senator or representative? Is that what you mean?
Or congresspersons, how things may be working in their district.
You mean like when a federal prosecutor is closing in on a crooked Republican senator or representative?
And whether it be the Attorney General or the Secretary of State or other members of my cabinet, I pass those complaints on at times. And what Al did was, and what the Justice Department did was appropriate. U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president. In other words, they're appointed by the president. They can be removed by the president.
Yes, and they can be removed by a crooked president when they're closing in on crooked cronies of the president. That's why we're here, Mr. President. That's why we're talking about this. That's why they asked the question. That's why the headlines are, how crooked is Gonzalez? How crooked is Bush? You finally grasping the point, Mr. President?
What was mishandled was the explanation of the case. The case is to the Congress.
Gonzalez botched this little story we dreamed up. He didn't say it the right way. A little bit of truth got out there. Now I'm in trouble.
And Al's got work to do up there. And the thing I appreciate about the Attorney General was he said publicly, that they could have handled it better. Mistakes were made and took action. And obviously more action needs to be taken. That's what I discussed with him on the phone today.
Getting back to the Attorney General scandal, more and more reporters were pressing Gonzalez over whether or not he should resign. But he assured everyone that the matter was out of his hands.
All political appointees, such as U.S. attorneys, serve at the pleasure of the president.
I serve at the pleasure of the president of the United States. Ultimately, I serve at the pleasure of the president of the United States. I work for the American people, and I serve at the pleasure of the president of the United States.
I serve at the pleasure of the president of the United States.
By the way, at the pleasure of the president, it's kind of a lousy talking point, but it's a great romance novel. But the problem with the phrase, I serve at the pleasure of the president, it makes the president appear to be a king, a monarch. Bring me the attorney general and some Moroccan boys and fruit. I'm sure the president himself would reject that type of language.
U.S. attorneys and others serve at the pleasure of the president.
Adding, Bush Bush has given himself a lot of opportunities during his administration for pleasure, be it through his spokesman.
Well, we all serve at the pleasure of the president.
Through bad diplomacy.
Well, I serve at the pleasure of the president.
Mishandling of Iraqi civilian deaths in Haditha.
I serve at the at the pleasure of the president.
Or just a whole host of f-ups.
As someone who was appointed and nominated by the president and serves at the pleasure of the president.
We all serve at the pleasure of the president.
I intend to serve the president at his pleasure.
And can I say this about Donald Rumsfeld? Donald Rumsfeld was a pleasure machine. Now, Mr. President, we all take pleasure in different things. I have my guilty pleasures. You have yours. Yours is apparently incompetent subordinates bungling our domestic and foreign affairs. Mine's super nanny. You know, I remember the previous president had someone who served at his pleasure. But in retrospect, I get that. This, you, what you apparently get pleasure from? Sick son of a bitch.
You better come home, Speedy Gonzales, away from Tannery Row. Stop all of your drinking with that floozy named Flo. Come on home to your adobe and slap some mud on the wall. The roof is leaking like a strainer. There's loads of roaches in the hall. Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home? Speedy Gonzales, how come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, I have to go shopping downtown for my mother. She needs some tortillas and chili peppers.
Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home? Speedy Gonzales, how come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, come quick. Down at the cantina, they're giving green stamps with tequila.
Okay, got a whole pile of stuff here. Maybe we can go through it. This will be the potpourri, the miscellaneous pile. See an article here by Richard Reeves, who's one of the biggest hand jobs at the Washington Whore Post. I think that's where he works, but he's stupid. He can't be trusted. But he said something that wasn't completely stupid, so I thought I'd comment on it. He's got the opinion, well, the name of his article is Obama versus Clinton is a win-win, and I agree with him. He says, Democrats are fun, and it's fun to make fun of them. Having said that, they are the party that will elect a president in 2008. He is correct. The only thing that could stop that, well, besides the Democrats screwing themselves crazy, which is a very big possibility, would be peace in the Middle East. Okay. Their stars are lined up in the right order above the White House. This is why I think that. The race for the Democratic nomination right now is certainly between Hillary and Obama, but John Edwards out from under John Kerry, waiting back in third place, hoping their front runners trip each other up. Perhaps that will happen, but I doubt it. I doubt it too. Jeez, that's twice I agreed with them so far. I hate that. Obama and Clinton actually help each other. If Obama can defeat Clinton, he will be established as a national figure of unquestioned presidential stature. This is true. As I told you 100 times, I like Obama, but he is the new guy on the block. And that's what the Republicans are going to say. Are we going to let an unqualified Negro run the country? But if he whips Hillary's butt, and that's no small feat, he will be seen as a contender. If Clinton beats Obama, the more likely result, she will have shed her can't-win albatross. Well, I don't understand what a can't-win albatross if she's never lost an election. Obama will soon have to face the where's the beef questions that did in Gary Hart, a once-upon-a-time media meteor drawing big and enthusiastic crowds and delivering a rather vague message that translated into new and improved. But if Obama beats what Geffen calls the Clinton machine, a machine Geffen used to fuel, Obama will simply be in a different class than he is now. He is correct. If Obama can outwit Clinton, and I'm talking about the team, then he will be the new genius. I guess there's always a chance Hillary's going to screw up and say something dumb, but she, of the three, I think is the least likely to screw up and say something dumb because she's got the most experience. Nothing wrong with a little bit of experience. But if Obama somehow beats her, yes, he will be hell on wheels, and I pity the fool that's going to run against the guy who whipped the Clinton team. If the formidable machine-driven Mrs. Clinton can roll over this shining new face, they won't be passing out leaflets as someone did in Carson City, non sequitur, saying that she is unelectable. Well, you know the Democrats are telling you she's unelectable. The Republicans won't tell you that. They're going to tell you how great Obama is. They're not going to mention her unelectability. It is not a bad hand the Democrats have to play if they go on to Las Vegas. What? More than that, if you listen to Republicans this day, most of whom pretend they've forgotten the name of that fool in the White House, they sound like all they're holding is a pair of deuces or jokers. This hand job. This column started out, Stephanopoulos, you know, Judas Maximus was in Nevada, whatever, a week or two ago, and they had some thing where he didn't pronounce Nevada correctly. How can you fuck up pronouncing Nevada? 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 I mean, how can you screw that up? But somehow Judas Maximus managed to do that, and that was like the focus of this idiot Richard Reeves article. But then he started making sense later on. Now I'm having to deal with his reference to the shit he started out with. At the moment, the race for the Republican nomination is focused on McCain and Rudy. And don't you hate it when they say, and former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani? If you don't know who Giuliani is, why would you be reading this column by Richard Reeves entitled Obama versus Clinton is a win-win? Who would give a fuck? If you're a 9-year-old kid, if you're someone just got out of a cave after 40 years, you're not going to be reading this column. Trust me, dude, everyone who reads this knows who Rudy is, they know who McCain is, they know who Obama is, and they know who Clinton is. Hell, those poker players we had a couple of shows back, they even knew who Obama was, all of them but the Iranian guy, which we forgive. So McCain and Giuliani, two candidates of charisma with Mitt Romney in the Edwards position. But the whispering campaign on that side of the aisle is unusual in my memory because supporters of both the frontrunners say the same thing into the delicate ears of reporters and columnists. Ask Giuliani folks about McCain and they whisper, yeah, people like him now, but he's nuts. Ask McCain folks about Giuliani and they whisper, yeah, people like him now, but he's nuts. And you know, they're both right. McCain wasn't a half-bad candidate 6 years ago when he said, by God, I'm going to tell the truth, and then he kind of did. And Giuliani, you know something else? I'm going to say it every time it comes up. But the reason that Giuliani was such a hero on 9/11 is because Bush was nowhere to be found. He was running like a Democrat, all peeing on himself, screaming, please don't hurt me. That's what our president was doing on 9/11. So somebody had to stand. Rudy was the big savior by accident. He's the only guy that showed up that day. What, the mayor of Des Moines was supposed to be the hero that day? The mayor of Chicago? The mayor of L.A. or Seattle? No. Rudy was the only guy in town that day. And Bush was missing. So, yeah, Giuliani, by default, became the man. And, yeah, you got to give him credit for standing there saying, we're going to get through this and that. But, you know, what could he do? Besides the Bush position, he could have wet himself under a table and cried, please don't hurt me. But most people don't do that. Just Democrats and wimpy Republicans. They all, Republicans that is, seem convinced the other guy is going to blow up by blowing up and, ready? They all, Republicans that is, seem convinced the other guy is going to blow it by blowing up in public. So whatever Democrats are saying about each other now, it looks like it's their year. Clinton versus Obama is a win-win. And to close it up, yes, he's right, because they're going to make each other tougher. This is just like, whatever, the football playoffs or that idiotic March Madness. Oh, God, I hate March. It is so awful. You know, the other day, it might have been last Friday, USA Today had three sections in their paper devoted to nothing but sports, and two of those sections were all about this idiotic basketball tournament. Who cares? I can't. Maybe if you're in college, if you go to DePaul or Dubuque or whoever these teams are, maybe if you go there, yeah, you might get a little excited. You go to that school. But whoever these people are, in a year or two, they're gone. They're not going to go pro. They're nobodies now. Real quick, basketball is a dumber sport than soccer or golf. And yeah, I'm on the record there. Basketball is a stupid-ass sport where the right thing to do is to foul the other guy. What if in football, every time they lined up for a play, it was your job to jump across the line and knock the other team on their ass while they're trying to set up? And that's how you score points. That's how you gain time in basketball. You commit fouls again and again and again, so they stop the clock. That's an idiotic game. I don't care who you are. And plus, the idea that you got to be 7 foot tall to play. Well, yeah, great sport. Basketball is so dumb. Who would watch basketball? It's a bunch of squeaking noises. A bunch of 7 foot tall black men running up and down the court, physically placing the ball in the basket with their hand because they're taller. They're just so tall, they just drop it in there like you drop ice cubes in a damn cup. Fucking basketball. All right, moving on. Circle a paragraph here. It pissed me off, so I thought I'd circle it. Waiting time for researchers seeking documents from the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and Museum in California have soared from 18 months to more than 6 years since Bush's 2001 executive order setting up massive additional layers of review before papers, even those from 20 or more years ago, can be released. So if Reagan's got so much to hide, if the Reagan and Bush administrations have so much to hide that we're not allowed to see what they did behind closed doors, then why the hell are we naming shit after them? Why are we naming airports and schools and aircraft carriers about, we're naming all, fuck, if I could talk, I could make money at this. Why are we naming aircraft carriers and schools and everything else after these presidents whose administrations are so shamed that we can't look at what they did? That's so obvious, but the Democrats, again, are just so clueless. They can't figure that out. Next time they say, we want to change this building and put Reagan's name on it, say, fine, release the papers. Otherwise, it's filibuster and you go F yourself. It's so easy, but they can't figure that out because they're Democrats. Got a little thing here. I entitled it Proof of Racism and Sexism. And you might even get into a little ageism here, but then again, how old can a president be? How old? Remember in 96, they compared being president to a pilot. I did anyway. If you're in a storm and there's two guys on the plane that can fly, one is an expert flyer and he's super good, but he might have, you know, he's got an eye for the ladies. Do we want him to fly or do we want Craggy old Bob Dole to fly us, fly the jet through the giant thunderstorm? He never cheated on his wife that we know of, even though he's on wife number two. You know, nobody investigated Dole, so we don't know. But yeah, let's let Craggy old Bob Dole with the bad reflexes and the bad eyes and the stool softener, yeah, let's let him land the plane. No, we don't want to do that. So I can understand the ageism. McCain is going to be 72 when he takes the oath. So if he runs for two terms, and you know he will, he's going to be 80. No, we don't need an 80-year-old president. McCain's not too damn sharp now. But here, USA Today Gallup poll, gauging voters' comfort level. Results from two USA Today Gallup polls were combined to analyze, oh, that sounds like a hand job there. We're combined to analyze Americans' attitudes about electing presidential candidates who would break new ground. A look at groups among the most likely and least likely to say they would be completely comfortable voting for a candidate with each characteristic. A female candidate, liberal Democrats, 90% comfortable. So that tells you liberals and Democrats are okay with a woman in charge. Non-Christians, what? Who cares? Non-Christians, 89%. Those with an education, 87%, are okay with women. So that rounds out to what? Call it 88%. 88% of liberals are okay with a female president. But for the Republicans, it comes out to, I'm trying to do the math in my head here, averages. We'll call it 65, 66%. So two-thirds of Republicans are okay with a woman, but that means a third of them, no, she has a vagina. You can't put her in charge. She's got one of those on her body. We can't allow one of those in the White House. What are you, crazy? That's just proof. Republicans are backwards. They still haven't got to the point where they think it's the 20th century. They're still in the 19th century. They're still back when women vote. Are you crazy? A black candidate is number two. Let's say around us off. Liberal Democrats, residents in the West, income of $75,000 or more, 18 and 29-year-olds, it's all 90% average. 90% of Democrats are okay with a black candidate. Now we look at the other side of the ledger. Republicans averages out to maybe 74%. So again, 3 out of 10 Republicans. A black guy, are you kidding? Have you seen the color of his skin for president? Are you nuts? And that's something, you know, I'm not, well, I am racist to the degree that we all are, and I'm about the only honest person that'll say that. Racism is alive in this country, and it's alive big time. Don't know if I said this yet, but Remember, they whined about Gore couldn't carry Tennessee. Well, you think Obama's going to carry Tennessee if Gore couldn't? And can Obama carry Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, the Carolinas, Virginia? I don't know. How many black people are in Utah? How many in Arizona? How many in New Mexico? How many in Colorado? How many in Idaho? How many in Montana? I don't know. If a third of the vote is going to say no to the guy strictly on the color of his skin. Now remember, we got 70% for the black guy and 90% for the woman. So right there, you're talking about 20% of the Republican vote, I think. But that's huge. And for those of you who say Obama's got it won, Hillary doesn't have a chance, I wonder, can you do the math? Okay, now here they talk about old people. I don't guess it matters too much. Older than 72, Democrats say 50% say they're comfortable. With Nazi bastards, it's 34%. Interesting. You know, the conservatives hate, I think, you're going to think I'm just being partisan, but they hate McCain. You wouldn't believe how viscerally, not even sure what that means, but I know this fits here. They viscerally hate McCain. They just, oh God, he just makes their skin crawl. Hillary, oh, she's some idiot liberal, but McCain, they just hate. Just hate him. A candidate married three times. Democrats, 63% are okay with that. Republicans, ooh, 50-50. Well, actually, it's like 48 or something, but how about that? So they're just proven. The 72 means McCain can't make it. Candidate married three times. That's Giuliani. Mormon candidate, check it out. The Democrats are about 70, maybe 69%. The Christian right at 50-50. So Romney, at best, is 50%. Giuliani married three times. He's at 50%. McCain, being old, he's at 35%. So as of today, what is today? We'll call it March. None of the three frontrunners, in my opinion, have a chance. Are the Republicans really going to vote for a gun-grabbing, gay-loving friend of abortion? We were one of the first to mention it. Tennessee Tuxedo, what's his real name, Fred Thompson? He's thinking about getting in, but he's kind of old. He's 66, I think. Not crazy old, but he looks old and craggy, and he's the old and craggy guy on TV. He and who's the other guy? Brokeback and Huckabee, they're not going anywhere. Newt Gingrich, the guy who just admitted boning his secretary while he was going after Clinton for not boning his pizza provider. They seem to have no chance. So if Democrats just fail to screw up, we got this one. Not asking anybody to vote for Hillary. Not yet, anyway. You don't have to vote for Hillary in the primaries. Just be fair with your tech. Okay, done with that section. Headline, nearly 800 contractors have died in Iraq. The bigger picture here, and they need to do this, but they won't do it because they never listen to me, the idiots. They should demand from Bush right now, They should say, Mr. President, we want a full financial accounting of this war by September 1st, or on that date, your presidency freezes. Nothing gets done after September 1st, 2007, unless we get a full and accurate accounting. Because what he's doing, 800 contractors have died in Iraq. They may have promised these people $1 million cash if you get killed in Iraq. So there's $800 million right there. If there's 800 dead, using Mike Malloy's number, which I feel comfortable with, 17 wounded for every one that dies. So my good math, that's about 150,000. Is that right? No. That's 15,000. No, it's got to be more than that. It's a whole shitload of maimed contractors. If we got 800 dead contractors, then multiply 800 times 17. Ooh, I got a math machine. That's 13,000 maimed contractors we got. And again, I would assume for them to agree to go over there in the middle of a damn civil war, they probably told them $1 million if you die and free health care for life if you get maimed or hurt or whatever. So think of all that money. And plus, I heard some idiot say the other day that Halliburton, when they announced their move to Dubai, they talked about, the recipient of a $10 million no-bid contract. You stupid people, were you born yesterday? If they announce $10 billion, the rule of law is you multiply by three or four. If the government says we can build this dam for $100 million, they mean a half a billion, please. And so if they say they gave Halliburton $10 billion, if Bush and them weren't crooked, that $10 billion would turn into 30 or 40, but since they are crooked, that $10 billion is going to turn into at least $100 billion, maybe a couple of hundred billion. That's why Halliburton is moving, so they don't have to report their income. Please? How can nobody else see that? Well, that and they get to avoid the subpoenas if they're over in Dubai. We want to know, while Bush is still in office, so we can punish the Republicans when the figures come out, we want to know how much this war is costing us. We want to know it now. Don't tell us in 2010, oh my God, we spent $6 trillion on that war? Oh my God, we spent $12 trillion on that war? Are you kidding? We don't want to hear about that in 2010. We want to hear about it now. If the Democrats had any fucking brains, they'd listen to me and they would demand the accounting now. Tell us what we spent as of right now. How deep is the hole, Mr. President? Tell us now. And if he says, oh, gee, hard to say. No. If it's hard to say, then you don't get anything done after September 1st, 2007. And mean it. The Democrats, they're so they keep bluffing. And the Republicans say, oh, okay, we'll call you on that bluff and say, oh, we're just kidding. Oh, never mind. Go on. They keep doing that. Oh, they drive me nuts.
Well, you were sleeping. They came and took it all. The lanes and the meadows, the places where you used to play. It was an inside job by the well connected. Your little protest, so merrily rejected. It was an inside job. As usual.
At a Superdome, I had several chapters of Revelations. Didn't even have to see his face to know he had my transportation waiting. To get that through the water, we all was waiting. From babies to a 67-year-old lady, held the crucifix and prayed. The truck felt like it levitated. The water was 3 feet and rising, but the F-150 still made it. 19 people escaped 5 p.m. that Wednesday when the sunset, we rode away. Hungry, tired, and dehydrated, but lived to fight another day. But not before passing by the convention center like the only truck in the parade. People offered to pay, but I didn't have any more room or any more space. I hated it. Did more crying instead of celebrating because I couldn't take someone else to safety that day. And I could still see the looks on their faces. And no pending lawsuit case can replace the ones that was washed away because the government hesitated. Left the whole nation frustrated, but I say unto you, best are the ones who donated. On behalf of the Gulf Coast, we really appreciate it. And best are the ones who sacrificed their lives to save us. You truly are dedicated. And best are the ones who cried your tears would not be wasted. And best are the ones that are lost and displaced, and whose houses were knocked off its foundation by winds and tidal waves. Cemeteries turned into mazes. Caskets coming out of their graves like they was in Texas and they was sitting sideways. Days for days from seeing skeletal remains remain scattered and unclaimed. That's a shame. Bush said he accepted the blame, so tell me, why they playing games with the money trying to give us the change? Our loss becomes their gains. Our neighborhoods are being reconfigured to be rearranged. Everything is strange. I know you can because I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done. They done signed my name, I proclaim, and Jesus done led me through the fire, the storm, the hurricane, and the rain. Broke off the chains, loosened up the hands, then kicked in the frame. You don't even have to remember my name. I told you I would be here with some partners that I came. I'm leaving, but I'll be back again. Will you be there?
The thugs and murderers back to the White House.
Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it.
You know what? We will never bow to our commitment to international institutions. You know what? We will never turn over Iraq to the Iraqi people. Tighter security with more excuses to the disruption and to the defeat with more excuses. With more excuses, responsible for bombing, war, bombing, for the benefit of corporate America. I don't like it a bit. In history's unmarked grave of discarded lies, have nothing to hide,
have nothing to hide. The thugs and murderers back to the White House.
Make no mistake about it.
The thugs and murderers back to the White House.
Make no mistake about it.
Okay, now here comes a whole other section of potpourri. Damn, I wish I was back to two-hour shows. I wish I didn't, you know, if I didn't have the page, I could just march these shows out one after another. But the page, you know, some people like it. Big headline, probe seek to query Rove about firings. The leaders of separate congressional inquiries into the firings of eight federal prosecutors said Monday they want to question Karl Rove about his alleged involvement in the abrupt dismissals. Conyers said he wants to investigate to interview Rove after the White House confirmed that Rove passed along complaints about from Harriet Myers. And Schumer, who's leading the Senate investigation, said Rove's possible involvement in the dismissal of Iglesias represented extremely disturbing evidence. You know, hey, I got an idea, guys. Quit yapping about doing it and fucking do it. I hate seeing the headline, we intend to call Rove. Hey, blow me. Quit telling us about your intentions and call the son of a bitch. Why didn't the headline should be Rove called? Get the son of a bitch under oath on live TV. And when they say, oh, we're going to get together and discuss how he'll testify. No, screw you. Here's a subpoena. Show up or you go to jail. Yeah, I got an idea. Let's send Vernon Jordan over there and let him have drinks with Jim Baker and let them sit around drinking cocktails and flirting with the waitresses and hammer out agreement under which Karl Rove will talk. Fuck that. Subpoena the bastard. Get him up there on live TV. And if the Republicans balk, tell them go screw themselves. Get this son of a bitch on live TV, and if by some miracle he turns out to be innocent, at least he got grilled on live TV, and the people that walk by and say, oh, there's that guy who's guilty. He's testifying again. I wonder what they caught him with, and then they move on doing their other stuff. But piss me off. You know, when Clinton had a girlfriend, it was a national emergency to get him on live TV. I don't know if it's live or not, but they recorded his testimony with the intention of playing it, and they all voted, should we release this testimony? Oh, yeah, it's important to the constitutional crisis that we're stuck in to get his embarrassing, you know, he's kind of red-faced that day where, you know, did you touch her here? Did you touch her there? Did she touch you here? You know, they went through hours of that just so they could get him squirming on camera. Now we got 3,200 dead soldiers and the Treasury's missing, but no, they're going to tell us under what circumstances they're going to testify. Screw you. But the Democrats, oh, we don't want to cause trouble. We just want to be fair. Oh, God, they make me sick. All right, enough of that. Oklahoma's premier embarrassment, and sometimes it's hard to figure out which one, but this time it's Dr. Coburn, you know Tom Coburn, one of the Jesus twins? He is so totally insane. I'll tell you how insane he is. When the Republicans were throwing around money, he said, no, Oklahoma doesn't want any because it's wrong. You know, you're throwing out hundreds of billions of dollars. Remember the bridge to nowhere in Alaska or Spain or wherever the fuck it was, when every senator up there was grabbing $100 million for his home state, Coburn said, well, no, that wouldn't be right. Well, yeah, thanks, Tom. That's why we got these good roads in Oklahoma. That's why the bridges are all intact and not falling down. That's why our kids are so well educated and there's no meth labs and all the youngsters are abstaining from sex and the divorce rate is near zero because Tom Coburn refuses money from the government when they're throwing it around. But anyway, Tom Coburn is a doctor, and he's insane. Matter of fact, he did abortions. But the Democrats won't say that. He's an obstetrician. He did abortions for years and years, and I don't know if he had his little epiphany on the way to wherever Paul was going when he had his epiphany, but they won't say that. Oh, I'm running against the Republican abortionist. Well, yeah, that sounds like a victory for the Democrats to me, but they're afraid to say that. What is wrong with the Democrats? God, they're sackless. I wonder what my blood pressure is now. Okay. Coburn predicted, this is February 24th on the Tulsa Hand Job newspaper. Coburn predicted that health care would be the leading issue in the 2008 elections. Yeah, what an idiotic thing to say. It'll be important and we need to address it, but I kind of think the war and the economy might be number one and two. 2008 elections and laid out some of the ideas he said he will introduce March 15th. And a genius move, he said, quote, it's not going anywhere, but it's being put out there for everyone to think about. Way to go, Tom. Masturbating on the Senate floor, live TV, only in Oklahoma. We need to change the paradigm in this country, and you should be proud I pronounced that correctly, and we need to do it by doing more for prevention. What? Later, in response to a question from the audience, Coburn, are you ready? You sitting down? You got a drink? Hold it. I'll stop. Go ahead. Get you a drink. Roll one up. We're about to hear some genius from Coburn. Coburn said 2/3 of the 45 million Americans without health insurance have access to it, but choose not to acquire it. Repeat. Coburn said 2/3 of the 45 million Americans without health insurance, so call it 30 million, my good Catholic math, 30 million Americans have access to health care, but choose not to acquire it. Now, either those people are so wealthy that, say, a $5 million bill from the local hospital won't faze them, either that, or they're so damn poor they can't afford the premiums. If healthcare premiums are $1,000 a month, or I don't even know what they are. I got my insurance through Mrs. Bart's work, so I don't know. But if your healthcare premium is $600, you know, rent $600 a month. And if healthcare is $600 a month and then food and whatever $600, you know, you can't afford healthcare. And this piece of shit Coburn is telling you they choose not to acquire. I chose not to get a Rolls Royce this year. I chose not to have lunch in Paris yesterday. I chose not to buy the Venetian in Las Vegas. I just chose not to buy it. I just have no interest in buying the Venetian or the Bellagio. I'm just, there's not on my horizon. That's what Tom Coburn's trying to tell us. These people don't want health care. They choose not to acquire it. You talk about a dumb son of a bitch. You see why I'm the smartest guy in Oklahoma? Of course, maybe I can't connect with the Oklahoma people like this monkey can. Doubt about trial. This guy's got Reagan all over him. Barry Levy from Redondo Beach. Let me guess, that's a rich part of town. Redondo Beach, California. It sounds so uppity, doesn't it? Redondo Beach. Get away. I'm trying to understand why the Scooter Libby trial... Ready? I'm trying to understand why the Scooter Libby case went to trial. What was the crime that was committed? Oh, he's so clueless. He's read up on it, and he's read all the news articles, watched all the TV, but what was the crime? I can't figure it out. The poor guy. Why wasn't exposing an undercover CIA officer, which is what I thought the case was about, even a part of the charges that were litigated? Sort of, that's a good question, and it'd be nice if Patrick Fitzgerald could explain that a little better. The reason he gave was, because Scooter Libby kept lying, we could never get to the facts. Well, you know, maybe that kind of holds water, but the meat and potatoes Joe Sixpack in Oklahoma or in any place that's not New York, L.A., or San Francisco, he doesn't understand that. I sort of do because I sort of, you know, am not a Okie, but it would have been real nice. The way I would have done it, I would have brought charges against, say, Libby and Cheney. Get Cheney under oath, and if he doesn't want to take the stand, then you say anything you want. You know, you make the case. If Cheney chooses not to refute it, well, then he's going to look guilty. But if they'd have put Cheney and Libby on trial and got Libby guilty and Cheney not guilty, that would have been something. But no, he just was afraid to take, you know how Democrats want to be fair and they say he's really a Republican. Who the fuck knows? But it just seems like whenever there's an investigation against a Democrat, they find the most partisan prick of all times, like a Kenneth Starr guy, to go after him. When it's time to investigate a Republican, oh, we get Bob Dole or somebody in charge of it. Doesn't it figure? Oh, a little sidebar. I can understand Bob Dole. That monkey calls and says, Bob, your country needs you. The veterans need you. They're counting on you, Bob. Oh, yeah, I'm Bob Dole. I'll do the right thing. Is Bob Dole, what, 140 now? And didn't they say there's 22,000 military hospital facilities in the United States? So what, Bob Dole's going to visit 22,000 places before he dies? I don't think Bob Dole's got 22,000 breaths left in him. He's not gonna. It's just not gonna happen. Maybe that's why I put Dole in charge. But the other one is Shalala. And I know she was former health secretary or something. But she's got a job. Why don't she go do her job? Why is a Democrat helping Bush put a happy face on this monstrous situation? Guy gets sent over to Iraq for no legitimate reason. He gets his balls and his legs blown off. He's blind in one eye now, and he's got brain damage. And he's sitting in his hospital room with rats running across his legs that aren't there anymore. And Donna Shalala runs in to put a happy face on that. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But they don't ask me, how should we handle this, Bart? Although they fucking should. Anyway, back to this Libby thing. All I'm left with is a nagging doubt that if a different administration were in office, this case would never have been brought to trial. And he's right. If this had been the Clinton administration, A, Clinton wouldn't have gotten 3,000 soldiers killed for a lie to steal a bunch of oil and take over the world. So yeah, he's damn right about that. And also, some of the people don't understand that because Clinton was seen as not a great friend of the military, that's why he went the extra mile all the time to be sure the military was satisfied. For some reason, Bush can cut military spending. He can cut veterans' benefits. He can cut the National Guard out of, I don't understand that exactly, but National Guard are like two-thirds of the force over there, but they don't have military benefits or something like that because they're not, you know, if you're in the Army or the Marines, you get actual military benefits. If you're a National Guard, maybe they figure it's a state issue, so they tell them, go fuck off. So somewhere around three-fourths or two-thirds of the soldiers in Iraq, they don't have military benefits, or they don't have the same that an Army guy would. I don't know exactly. Who's got time? I ain't got a staff to figure it out, but that's something I'm sure about, but I don't know the numbers. Because of something like that, if Clinton ever was seen for us, if he suggested we cut back 1% on something that they didn't need, oh, the whole sky would fall in. But Bush, he's slashing the military left and right when they need it the most. You know, the biggest problem, I think, at Walter Reed, they're set up to handle a couple hundred casualties, and they got 30, 40,000. Well, yeah, how the hell are they going to keep up? It's Lucy and the candy factory. And every time a piece of candy falls on the floor, some soldier dies because nobody checked his medicine or checked his IV or whatever happens. These guys come back like with a very bad wound on their leg or something. And because of Walter Reed negligence, you know, the leg got gangrene and then it got amputated after they got over here. That's a pretty goddamn serious crime. But no, it's okay because Bush is a friend of the military. The military families love him. How the fuck can anyone explain that? 3,000 of us are dead. 60,000 of us have serious injuries. What they said this week, 25,000 have got post-traumatic stress. And I don't know the numbers, but 15,000 have got brain injuries and all this. But that's okay, because Bush is our friend. Reminds me of the old gambling joke. Say me and Mrs. Bart go to Vegas on a gambling junket. And we get there, and I go crazy in the poker room, and I lose $20,000, and I'm in a bad mood, and I come out barking at her, and she says, what are you mad at me for? I said, how much did you lose gambling? Miss Bart says, $40. And I said, what the hell are you doing? She goes, hey, you lost $20,000. Well, yeah, but I know what I'm doing. That's what we're hearing from Bush. It's okay that we got 60,000 amputees. It's okay that we got 3,000 fresh graves in Arlington and another 3,000 to come, or 5 or 10,000 to come, or 20 or 50, 100,000 to come. That's okay, because he knows what he's doing, and people accept that. Ask I don't know about today, but 2-3 years ago, ask a man in uniform who he wants president. Oh, we love Reagan. We love Bush. We love any Republican. Those Democrats are just crazy. Even though Clinton never sent a man in a battle, didn't come home, they don't care. They would rather bury their son under Bush than have him come home and live 40, 50, 60 extra years under Clinton. That's how stupid they are, or illogical, or untrained, or whatever the problem is. But the military are idiots in that. If they can't recognize that a Democrat is better for them than a Republican, you know, taking it a step further, you remember I had a big tiff with Ted Rall about calling the soldiers saps. And as time goes by, I think I remember saying a while back that once they hit their four-year thing, if you're still in the Army or whatever, you're a sap. Well, that didn't really work because they stop loss you and they won't let you go home. That, or they tell you, if you don't sign up, we're going to draft you, and you're going to be here 10 more years. If you just sign up for one more tour, you might be home in 18 months. So they're blackmailing them that way. But think about the soldiers being saps in the respect that if you're in, this is an analogy, but if you're in a foxhole, and there's some, one of these contractors that we talked about is in the foxhole with you, and you're sitting there, you say, hey, dude, I make $900 a month. What do you make? And he says, well, I make about $10,000 a month. Well, excuse me? We're both in the same foxhole and you make 10 times what I make and you get to go home whenever you want? Well, yeah, I guess I am the sap. You sign up to help your country win a war and they give you $1,000 a month and they screw you to death. But if you're some greedy contractor, if you're, I don't know what the contractors are doing, if they're bridge builders or whatever they are, but, you know, if you agree, if you volunteer for some company, if you work for Halliburton and you're over there, you're getting $10,000 a month. Two guys in a foxhole, one's getting $10,000, one's getting $1,000. The guy making $10,000, he gets to go home. The guy making $1,000, he don't get to go home. Now, in that regard, that would make them saps. If you want to defend your country, go work for Halliburton. Don't sign up in the Army. What are you, stupid? All right, what else we got? Record foreclosures, real to ease lenders. Not even going to get into it, but just let me say, I hope these loans aren't backed by the government, because what they did, if you know anything about housing, which I don't, but you know how I can read a headline in my Funkin' Wagnalls porch, I can glean exactly what they mean. What they were doing here in the go-go, whatever, real estate market, say you make you and your wife make $100,000 a year, and you live in a nice home, and you hear all these homes are being sold like crazy. You hear about these, you hear these nutty stories from Phoenix and Vegas and that where, oh, we bought a house for $250,000, and we sold it 3 months later for $300,000. We made $50,000 in 3 months. And you think, well, hey, I want to get in on some of that. So they let these people go buy house after house with nothing down with these adjustable rate mortgages. Then the rate goes up when Bush further screws the economy. So the lending rate goes up now, and they got to let all these houses go back. These idiot bankers, in their greed, they're all Republicans, you know, every one of them. In their greed, they said, oh, I made so much money last year, let's double everything. So if a guy comes in and wants to buy a house, let's convince him to buy two houses with nothing down. That way, if there's a hiccup somewhere, all these houses come back because the poor bastard's bankrupt. Oh, it's just, and the worst part about it is once they screw all this up, there's the domino effect. This is a real domino effect. But when the interest rates rise up now and all the lenders start tightening up, well, what's GM and Ford going to do? You know, you go try to buy a car. Well, there's no financing. You know, a guy like you, we see you're a couple days late on this payment and this and that. So you don't get the loan. Sorry. Well, hey, I ain't got a car. How am I supposed to go to work if I don't have a car or a truck? Well, hey, that's not my problem. Lending's tight. Idiots. That one thing is going to just ripple throughout, and it could screw the economy. Let's hope it happens on Bush's watch. Viacom sues Google's YouTube for $1 billion. Now, I think, a little sidebar, did you know Bush broke the 12,000 Dow mark this week? Trouble is, he broke it going down. Remember, Clinton brought the Dow to 11,500, and now Bush is under 12,000. And they tell you tax cuts for the rich work. What's wrong with the fucking Democrats again? They keep pulling the same scam again and again. We got to give $100 billion to Bill Gates so he'll hire more people. Hey, Microsoft ain't hiring. It doesn't work. It didn't work for Reagan. It didn't work for Bush. It didn't work for this Bush. And the Democrats are afraid or unable to explain. It doesn't work. Look at what Clinton did. He gave tax breaks to little guy. So little guy went out and bought washer dryer. He bought carpet. He bought a stereo. He redid this. He redid that. He put a whole bunch of people to work. You give a billionaire a tax cut, he's going to buy a new yacht from Italy and give some Italians some work. It doesn't work. But the Democrats can't figure that out. They can't figure out how to counter the argument that your life will be better if we give the billionaire some more money. Oh, okay, yeah, I like the Republican plan. Let's give the billionaires more money. I can do without. I'm okay. People buy that. And a problem my first deceased chief of staff told me about, this is back when Don Nichols was a senator from Oklahoma. He pushed the hardest for the tax breaks for the super rich when Bush got in office. But there's no billionaires in Oklahoma. If they are, they're oil billionaires, and there's three of them or something. And the senators from New York and L.A., your Feinstein, your Boxer, your Schumer, your Clinton, they were fighting against the tax breaks for the super billionaires, and that's where the billionaires live. It is so stupid. I mean, we can argue about New York and L.A., but the senators from Oklahoma and Sessions in Alabama and the racist guy, the Strom Thurmond guy, what's his name? Trent Lott. He's from Mississippi. You got the idiots from Oklahoma, Alabama, Mississippi arguing for tax cuts for the billionaires. And they get reelected. How many billionaires are there in Alabama? How many billionaires are there in Mississippi? They don't fucking live there. Yet the people send these three senators back again and again and again to represent billionaires, and there's none of them in that state. What is wrong with people that can't figure out simple math? Man on the street walks up and says, I don't have a sandwich. I need some food. My family's starving. We'll tell you what, I can't help you out, but I will send this billionaire over here on a round-the-world eating spree. Oh, okay, thanks. That works out great for me. The idiots keep voting against their best interests. What's wrong with people? Anyway, this started out with a thing about Google. I mentioned it at the time, I think. I thought it at the time. Google bought YouTube for $1.5 billion. And as they made the transaction, YouTube was under attack by these idiot lawyers who, again, they're not looking at their best interests. When you read the story, what does it say? In the biggest clash yet between old and new video media, Viacom filed a $1 billion suit against Google's YouTube. Viacom says that the website, which Google bought last year for $1.5 billion, has shown brazen disregard for a demand that it stop showing user-posted video from Viacom cable shows like Jon Stewart and The Colbert Report, and movies like Inconvenient Truth. Hey, guess what? It helps those three. If you show a clip from Inconvenient Truth and you like it, you're not going to sit there and watch five-minute clips. You're not going to do it. If you see a clip or two, you're going to think, hey, that movie I can get for $14. I'm going to the store, or I'm going to click on Amazon.com. I'm going to buy that. Same for Jon Stewart and Colbert. If you see a clip from Jon Stewart and you don't like it, no harm, no foul. If you see a clip from Jon Stewart and you like it, you're going to make it a commitment to watch it. If you're living in a town or you don't have cable or whatever and you can't watch it, well, then no one gets hurt either. It's in Viacom's best interest to let Google show clips from The Daily Show and The Colbert Show because that raises the demand. What's wrong with people? The lawyers are so insistent on slitting their own throats and their own client's throat that everybody loses. If this suit goes through, and it probably will, Google's going to lose money. Jon Stewart and Colbert are going to have less exposure. Viacom's going to make less money. It's a lose-lose all the way around. But of course, when you involve the idiot fucking lawyers, that's all they do. It's not the lawyer's job to look out for the best interests of his client. The lawyer's job is to generate fees. If he sees a problem he can fix with a phone call, he's going to say, oh, you're looking at months of litigation. You're looking at thousands of billable hours here. Oh, this is a huge problem. Tell you what, we'll sue him for $1 billion and we'll settle for 0.8 billion. But I'm going to need about three of that. I'm going to need about 300 million out of this. Oh, okay, Viacom, they're stupid. They don't want to make any money. I was telling someone the other day, remember Sean Fanning, I think it's his name, he invented Napster. And Napster used to work great. If you're just coming up or never got into it, I sat there for a couple of weekends and thought of every idiotic Hey There, Little Red Riding Hood by the Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. You know, I sat there and thought of every obscure idiotic. I didn't even want to hear it, but I just was trying to stump Napster. I thought of every wild, stupid, crazy song, you know, from when I was a little kid or whatever, and you punch it in, boom, it's there. You hit another button, boom, it's on your hard drive, and you can hear it. It was amazing, and it worked. And so, of course, the music billionaires got together and said, oh, we can't stand someone else making a nickel. Oh, we can't allow this. So they shut him down. And before they shut him down, he said, tell you what, I'll give you guys $1 billion. There's four of them. There's BMI, and there's those guys in Germany, and whoever, there's four big guys that'll give you $250 million each just to shut up and go away. No, no, no. We've got to have, oh, no, no, no. So they screwed that all up because it worked, and it worked great. They screwed that all up. Now, swear to God, I don't know if it's still this way, but you go to iTunes, and 2-3 years ago, probably 2003, I was trying to get a copy of John Lennon's War Is Over, if you want it. Throw it to iTunes, hit in John Lennon. They don't have any because the lawyers for Apple are having a fight with the lawyers from iTunes or whatever. I guess that's Apple Core versus Apple Inc. or something. But because the lawyers got involved, they screwed it all up. I guarantee you, is there any music service on the internet that works? I don't think the answer is yes. There's no music service. There can't be a music service that commercially sells, you know, songs for a buck or something. Because if they do, if there is one, they're not going to have the song you want. They just fuck up everything. That's what lawyers do. It's their job to fuck up everything. And they are great at it. That's why they all live in $8, $10 million houses. And that's why their client is real damn sorry he got involved with the lawyers in the first place. Because all they did, oh, and it's a 30-year, you know, Anna Nicole Smith, when did she sue for her money? The son of the billionaire, he could have given her $20 million, go away. Fine, she'd be happy with $20 million. But no, the lawyers got involved. And so Anna Nicole Smith and the old man and the son, they're all dead now. And the fight's still going on. So the attorneys, over the decades, they're all making thousands of billable hours per week or per month, whatever. They're gonna end up with the money. Not the dad, not the son, not Anna Nicole. They're all broke and dead. Meanwhile, the lawyers, they're doing great. You can't trust them. And just idiotic that they get involved in the first place. Viacom and Google's lawyers, they're going to all be trillionaires, and we're all going to lose. They're going to shut down YouTube. Google's going to lose their $1 billion investment. Everything's fucked. Oh, it must be Bush's fault. there you had it. Bart Cop Radio, show number 110 is in the can. Hope you liked some of it. Hope you liked parts of it. Hope you liked a little bit of it. If you did, let me know. I'd like to thank Tommy and Charlie for all their help. I'd like to thank the subscribers. I'd like to thank those who send the occasional check in the mail. If you send me a check in the mail, none of it goes towards financing Bush's bloody quagmire, and that's a good thing. So tell you what, I got all the clips from show number 110 that we never did get to. I'll get a head start on show number 111. Look out, look out, look out, son of a bitch! Small plane almost hit us. What's wrong with these people? They don't know what they're doing. They don't even look where they're flying. I'll tell you what, we better land this puppy while we still have our lives. This is Bart, 3,000 feet above K-Drag, and I'm out of here.
Budgie. Ooh, no! bye-bye.